What's up? What are you up to?
Currently, I'm eating a one of my wife's protein bars.
Is it packed with estrogen?
It's fucking delicious.
Touch your nipples really quick.
Now we're good.
Are they sensitive?
Nope.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So, I got no news updates today. There's nothing interesting on the news today. That means there's nothing the government's trying to hide from us right now.
To calm before the storm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The other day, when I did that episode where you were absent, you know, that one that you weren't here for?
And I have to say, shout out to the kings in the comments giving me baby advice. Much appreciated. She's in a, she's wanting to give up her afternoon nap. So she's sometimes taking her nap and sometimes not. And when she's not ready for it yet. So she's just awful for the whole day. So we're in that stage.
I don't know if you listened to the episode or not, but
I did. I got roasted.
I was so close to, you know, I told everybody else not to give you bad advice, but I was on the verge of like, you know, baby Benadryl, you know, but that would be bad. Yeah, you can't drug your kids, but you know,
All good.
I don't think there's any parent out there who goes through that infant stage that doesn't think about different methods that they could put their child to sleep.
Well,
Is she sleeping through the night?
so the youngest, she's fantastic. She's an easy kid. She sleeps, she can just hang out by herself and not cry. It's the toddler that is the issue at the moment.
Aha.
Baby's easy.
We
The
knew the
toddler's tough.
toddler was going to be the problem.
Well, she always has been, which is
Yeah.
good for us later because she's super strong-willed. She's strong-headed, like she's solid. The young one will be the cute, dumb one, but our toddler's going to be, she'll be the president.
Good to know. All right. So we talked a little bit about yesterday we talked and I pitched a few ideas on what today's episode is going to be about. Some of the things that you're aware of, and then there's probably a few things that you're like, this is new. And is it new? I would say it's relatively new, but it's been around for probably 7, 8 years, I'd say. So particularly and you can use this for the bolt gun, but for gas guns in particular, you're always thinking about how can you be precise and faster, right? What's the point of having a gas gun if you can't engage faster? So there are a few techniques that you could use. Holdovers, right? So no dialing, just a straight holdover. And we're going to put a speed rating and a precision rating with these. They're all accurate, right? Accuracy is the name of the game. But when you're looking for precision, typically you see what? You see a decline in speed.
Correct.
So how can we improve all of these, right? And it's almost like a, you know, as the scale slides towards precision, then you're taking away from the speed aspect, right? So there's different techniques out there that we can utilize to try and increase these situations. So one of those is holdovers, right? You're just going to use the reticle, you're going to hold, and they have all kinds of reticles now. I mean, you've seen after what would you say that Horus was kind of the, I don't want to say Godfather. There's reticles before Horus that have like a Christmas tree style, right? But would you attribute most of the reticles today all coming from Horus's domination in the industry?
So I would only say that because I think Horus was truly the first one to that every single scope manufacturer picked up. I think previously to that, every scope manufacturer had their own version of a Christmas tree. And it was just when Horus came out with theirs that, oh, they're all using the Horus, which is, and so it sort of got the name recognition.
I feel like it also pushed everybody to enhance their reticles. Like yeah. They may have come out with a Christmas tree, not very detailed, not very well thought out, but they had something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was companies not wanting to pay the $200 licensing fee per reticle? All right. Per reticle, $200.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's fucking baller. That's what that is. So, you know, companies are like, fuck you, I'll make my own. Mm-hmm. But has it caught on?
I mean, I think it has. Again, you know, I'm super simplistic. You know, my reticle choice is always, I don't need as much, whereas you use the shit out of your reticle. So, I mean, has it caught on? Yeah, it has, I think. But again, it's all going to be mission specific.
Yeah. So having a Christmas tree will help with holdovers. Holdovers mm-hmm. is just the basic, what's the distance to my target? What's the elevation that I need? And I'm going to hold that exact elevation on the reticle, right? So that is option number one, all right? And we're going to rate these at the end. So option number one, hold over, right? Now, there are certain reticles that will increase the speed a little bit more with the holdover method, like the Tremor 3. The Tremor 3 has the windage dots in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you hold over, the farther the dots get from the center line, which increases your windage hold. And it's broken up into mile per hour. So you figure out what that mile per hour is for your rifle, for your caliber. And, hey, it's a 4 mile an hour. I got an 8 mile an hour wind outside. Hold two dots, right? So it's become faster. It's a rapid engagement reticle. So very awesome. But there's not a lot to talk about with holdovers. It's a very basic concept, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So then you got max point blank. So what is max point blank? I've had long discussions about this. I teach it in pretty much every class I do here in the military side. And then I also teach it for law enforcement. We talk about where to use this. Could you use it for your gas gun, for your 223? And, you know, what it comes down to is you're effectively choosing a vital zone, right? And you could use, like, hunters have been doing max point blank for how long?
Yeah, forever.
Forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand, but when a hunter says, I'm zeroing at 50 yards or 200, right? At, like, when you think about 100-yard zero, the significance about 100-yard zero is that at 100 yards, right, the bullet comes up and meets the crosshair. And then it immediately starts falling. So if you've got a target inside 100, you have to dial up or hold up to engage that target.
Mm-hmm. If
beyond 100, you have to do the same thing, hold up or dial up, right? So for simplistic reasons, you will never dial down. So it's easy. You don't have to think about which way to dial or hold. You just 100 yards zero, right? But as that bullet passes 100 yards and it starts to fall, you are leaving that vital zone. So if you get to 200 yards, maybe you're at a 6-inch drop right now. Well, what size is the vital zone of the animal that you're killing or whatever it is that you're doing, right? The target size. If the target size, let's say the radius of the target is 4 inches, you now miss that target at 200 if you don't dial or hold a specific elevation. So, hunters, 50 yards, that bullet passes the line of sight, your crosshair at 50, and it rises. And then right around 200, it comes back down and it hits that reticle again. Right. So now you're using the upper portion of the target. So you're getting more efficient with the target size and just being able to point and shoot. And that's really all max point blank is point and shoot. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're using elevation dialed on your scope to make it more efficient. So what we like to do is push for a, and this is again going to depend on your vital size, right? Or the target size. If you've got a 6-inch target, dialing for 300 is probably not going to work for you. Take, for instance, the coyotes that you engage.
Mm-hmm.
What's their kill zone size?
I mean, it's pretty small, right? So, you know, you can say that it's a 6-inch target, but the realism is if you don't want a runner, it's more like a 3 to 4 inch target.
Okay. So you got a small vital zone. And now it's like, okay, what's going to be the best 0 point for me? What's going to be the best max point blank? And it probably is a 50 yarder, right? Because 50 yard zero, I think the bullet comes above your line of sight an inch and a half.
And yeah. Then- and I think it's important to note that for me, it's probably the only time that I'll listen to when someone says a flatter shooting round, because that's really the only time it matters.
It does.
Because your maximum point blank range changes based on the ballistic coefficients of your rifle.
100% it does. Yeah, that flat trajectory is going to extend that range that you could just point and shoot, right? And that's mm-hmm. what's so awesome about your max point blank is that whatever distance that is, if you have a, let's say you have a 50 yard zero, which will effectively push you out to 200, or you have a 33 yard zero, and that pushes you out to 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the flatter trajectory that you have, you're going to extend those distances, and now it makes your engagements that much faster.
Yeah, for sure.
See target, put crosshair, shoot, right? So the speed of this, I would say, is at the upper level, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But then your precision takes a drastic hit. You're hitting inside of that vital or that target, but you're not hitting where your crosshair is at, you know?
Yeah.
So now you pair that with shitty shooting, bad position, bad fundamentals, and maybe you don't hit that spot at all. But max point blank is a very effective means to stretch out a distance to make you efficient. And we used to do it patrolling, right? You leave, I remember specifically like deployments in Afghanistan. You go, before you're about to exit the base, you go through all your checks, right? Do I have all my shit? Do I got my magazines? You got water, food, like health, everything. And then final thing is checking, make sure weapon's good to go. And on our rifle scopes, we would dial about 1.8, right? That would put us at like a 350 yard zero. But we're just trying to hit a man-sized target, right? And so like point of aim, point of impact, 350, but then the projectile's falling beyond that. And probably around 410, it's somewhere in the lower gut region. We're still hitting somebody, right?
Yep.
So when you're out patrolling and you've got 350 dialed on the scope, if you get into contact, somebody starts engaging you, there's no thinking. There's not like, oh, what's the range to that target? It's just put crosshair on bad guys and start going, right? Try to get out of that contact and kill whatever's happening, and then you can figure it out later, right? So that's the benefits of the max point blank. It's fast, it's accurate, but it's not precise. And you really got to look at what your vital zone is. And this is what's awesome about the Ballistic Arc app, is that you can type in what vital size you're engaging. And based off of your zero distance, it will tell you, you can point and shoot out to this distance. It's a really awesome feature. Yeah,
that's a great feature of that. I mean, historically before, and I think I was using Applied Ballistics, I think, for years. And you can do the same thing, but you have to look at your chart and you have to look at the under number. You got to look at the over number and you got to kind of do the math yourself, changing your zero around a little bit. But with Blitzcrack, yeah, it's nice. You can just literally put in a vital sign and it does the math for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking technology.
Fucking technology. So Max Point Blank is, I love it. I am a huge fan of it. I think it's very combat effective. I think it works great for law enforcement. You know, when you think about law enforcement engagements, if it's not a hostage rescue situation, why would you have your rifle on anything other than a quick engagement distance, right? If you have time to think, if you have time to get in position, then you can dial, would you not?
Yeah, but so what I'll say with like the law enforcement application is, again, it's different rules of engagement and sort of different, what's happening isn't usually as dynamic, right?
Very true.
In the typical law enforcement application, you have a known distance relatively within 10, 20 yards, you know, you have a position you can get set in. So most of the law enforcement stuff, if you look at the typical law enforcement, you know, sniper shooting, they've got all the time in the world. And it's typically a known distance, right? Now there's an outlier, right? So that can't be the standard, but like the typical engagement usually is a known distance and you've got time to make the decision, or at least get your dope and take the shot. It's sort of it's just one of those things where a lot of times military gets compared to law enforcement in certain applications. And there's times where I specifically for like the sniper stuff, I'm like, it couldn't be different. Like the law enforcement guys aren't sitting there in a fucking high, just like trying to dump rounds. Like,
yeah,
best case scenario, you get one shot and like, you've been waiting 3 hours to take that one shot.
So for the situation where you get to arrive to the situation, you set up your position, right? So tell me what's different here. Okay. And you can still agree to disagree with me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But if a sniper in a law enforcement capacity has 100-yard zero, and then he pulls his gun, like he puts his gun in his car, we'll call it patrol ready, right? And he dials his scope for 50 yards, right? So he dials, let's say on a bolt gun 308, he dials up 0.2, 0.3, okay, depending on the sight height. So now his rifle is driving around in the car with him and it's set for 50 yards. What's that doing for him? If he's in a like high desert environment, there is, if the situation arises where he has to take a shot out to 200 or inside 50, is he not set up for success?
No, he is. And I think it's just a classification of, so for me, historically, I've always separated the designation between a designated marksman on patrol. So you have a DMR on each shift that has like a short 308 or 223 AR with a piece of glass on it versus a dedicated SWAT sniper.
Yeah.
And typically those are just different assignments.
True. So a lot of teams are not full-time SWAT teams.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
So you got patrol guys rolling around with sniper rifles because they haven't been called out for their SWAT assignment yet.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that part at all. I think there's a very valid reason to have like a maximum point blank range on it for those guys.
Yeah,
for sure. So, and I don't even disagree with, you know, the team sniper having that either. I'm just saying typically for most engagements, they're all kind of known distance and stuff. But I mean, I can tell you a guy I know probably 15 years ago rolled up to a school. He was first on scene. By the time he got his rifle out to the time he threw it up against the fence, the chain link fence, and took the shot was like 20 seconds. And it was a school shooting that was about to happen. I mean, And that's exactly what it was. It was that quick. He threw his bolt gun up on the chain link fence, took the shot, and everything happened within like 20 seconds, and he made the shot. So there are instances that's needed, and it's necessary.
Yeah. So you have your patrol rifle, you have your rifle patrol ready. It's dialed for 50 yards. You get a school shooting, you run up to the fence, you take the shot, your rifle's ready. You take that same scenario and there's a law, right? The sniper moves into a position, he has time, he ranges it, he makes the appropriate dial, right? So what changes? Nothing changes.
No, you nothing. It works for both.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the max point blank. So that is going to move us into speed drop, right? And I put together an entire chart playing with what you dial, right? So for instance, what is speed drop? Speed drop is you're dialing below zero. Okay. So you got 100-yard zero and you're going to dial down a certain amount. And what that does is that there's a range, right? And typically it's 150 to 550, right?
Okay.
Now you start getting past that 500 mark and you start to get a little dispersion, okay? So beyond a certain distance and closer than a certain distance, so we'll say 150 and 500, you start to have some separation between the actual elevation required and what you're going to hold. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You just lost your precision, but there is a 500 yard area where your precision is spot on. So what it is we'll take the 308. The 308 M110 SAS shooting 2,600 feet per second. Mm-hmm. You dial down below zero, 1.5 mils. Right? So you're now dialed down 1.5 mils.
Yep.
Range of target comes up 310. You hold 3.1 and you will hit point of aim, point of impact. So is it as fast as max point blank? No, right? Because you have to range the target. Max point blank is designed so that you don't range the target. You just point and shoot. So speed drop, it's fast, but you still need a range, right? Would you say it's faster than holdover?
No.
Why? For a holdover, you got to range the target. Oh, look, it's 500. Got to hold three mils, 3.2.
I guess you still have to range every...
You have to range for both scenarios, right?
Yes.
But one of them, you have to think about what your elevation is. The other, you just hold what the distance is.
Yeah, I mean, so... Correct. So here's... we start getting into that 100 to 500 is spot on, right?
Yeah.
And you're essentially shooting it and you're holding to it. I mean, so let me ask you this. You shoot what? A 6 Creed?
Just depends on the day. Sure, go 6.
Typically, Creed. Right?
Okay.
100 yard zero.
Yeah.
What are you dialing for 200 yards?
0.4.
What are you dialing for 550? What are you dialing for 500?
2.4.
What are you dialing for 400?
1.7.
If you just fucking train, you don't need to dumb it down. Because that is faster. That is just as fast.
Okay, but we're talking about different levels here. Right?
I know, but what I'm saying is
we're talking about like, somebody who does this every single day.
I know.
And you're like,
I get it.
Tyler, what's the holdover for 223 at this distance? I'm like, here it is, right? Whereas, yeah, like, you take your average or slightly above average shooter and you say, here are these methods to increase your speed, maintain precision, check this speed drop out, right? Now, the speed drop is limited because if you don't have a scope that allows you to dial below zero, you can't employ this.
Yeah, because if you have a zero stop set, you can't do it anyhow.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there is a it's a maritime sniper course and it's held in Europe, right? And I got invited to go. I couldn't go this year. I'm hoping to get on that train next year. But the instructors start messaging me. We're on a little group chat. And one of them messages me and says, hey, can you check out our PowerPoints and tell us if you see anything that sticks out to you. So I'm like, I'm supposed to be a student in this class, but I'm reading their PowerPoints and they have speed drop in there. So I'm reading the speed drop and what they're doing is they have their speed drop number. And instead of dialing down, right? And again, I don't know what scopes they're using. I don't know if they have this capability, but instead of dialing down, they have their speed drop number. So it's 1.5. He's like, so we range the target and we subtract 1.5. And that's what your hold is. And I'm like, that's fucking complicated.
Now that is way fucking complicated.
That is fucking hard. I'm like, 3.2 minus 1.5, 1.7. Like, you know, it didn't seem very efficient to me. So there is a, you could do it that way, I guess. I think you would be losing out on some of the speed if your subtraction is not on point, right? But it works.
Yeah.
The idea is that it works. So if you're working with a partner and you have a spotter and he's ranges there, right? Me and you are out hunting and we set up your rifle to be speed drop capable. We spot a coyote at 250. Instead of thinking about what your dope is, all I'm going to tell you is hold 2.5.
2.5. Yeah, no, I don't disagree that it's fast. I guess I'm just, and again, I'm always resistant to change in some things, but I've always had, like, whether I'm hunting or whether I'm on duty, whether I'm just chasing coyotes, I like to see, again, we talk about stacking tolerances, right? Like, I want to see just a true number. And I've always worn a wristband. Like, so for me, I've always just done that. And so I always have a reference to, like, you tell me 250 and I just do this and I can hold over just as fast. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's good in theory. I mean, in concept, it's great. If you have a rifle that matches up, if it's only really works from 0 to 500. So
that's pretty good.
It is. So, like, plus or minus an inch or so, like, it's still good.
I don't disagree
with it.
At 100, so just going off the 308 here, at 100, you are off by an inch and a half, okay? And then at 550, you're also off an inch and a half, and then it just gets progressively worse.
Yeah.
But inside that window, it is dead nuts, right?
Yeah, which is solid, right? So I think that's good, but going back to, like, situations that work and situations that don't, right? Same reason why I don't use max point blank range when I'm hunting, and I wouldn't be able to use that because, let's say, for instance, hunt a lot of bobcats. Now, is being an inch and a half off okay? That's pushing it. Now, I'm on top of a chair that's moving on a rest that's not stable. I'm not capable of shooting one MOA in that situation.
Yeah.
So now that 1.5 inches is like 3 inches. It's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So it all just depends on your mission and how you're set up, I guess. I just, for me, it's one thing I'm not going to add to the bag of tricks.
So, for those of you at home listening to this, you can make your own chart, right? You can figure out what your speed drop number would be. If you have a spreadsheet, Excel document, you can write it out. Put the distances across the top, right? 100, 200, 300, all the way out. You could do it in 50-yard increments, okay? And then write your elevation for each one of those distances under that distance. And then you're going to have another column, and you're going to have, let's say, you're a 308, and you want to see if you got a 1.4, 1.5, 1.6 number. Awesome. Subtract 1.5 from the dope on every one of those distances. Or sorry, add the dope, right? So 1.5, add it to your dope. Does it match the distance that is the engagement? And if it does, then you've just found your speed drop number. And if it doesn't, you need to try a different number. Like, we pulled out the 300 Win Mags 2 weeks ago, and we were running the speed drop concept. And a lot of the guys at the sustainment training for the instructors haven't got to do speed drop. And they were like, can we do it? Can we try it? I'm like, yeah, let's try it. So we figure it out for the 300 Win Mag. It's 2 mils. So because of that, bigger bullet, higher velocity, flatter trajectory, 2 mils is your speed drop number. And then guys were going through the course of fire, and it was range, shoot. And there was zero thinking involved in it, right?
Okay.
So it worked out. It was good. Everybody liked it. And it kind of renewed my faith in speed drop, because I haven't been a big fan of it either. I'm still not a huge fan of it. I'm just being the advocate to you, or a devil's advocate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. I've always been the same mind frame as you, like, memorize your dope, stupid, or shoot max point blank, right? Do one or the other. What is this speed drop? You know, we run loopholes. There's no dialing down. I don't know if people know this, but you are not dialing down on a loophole, right? I believe Vortex is the same. You can't get past that zero stop.
Yeah, I mean, unless you run your shit all the way down and run your zero stop past it, so your zero is actually a full revolution out. But then we talk about again, like, am I at zero? Am I at fuck?
I don't know if you can physically change the zero stop in a vortex.
You should be able to go down a full, like,
not on their razor. Their razor is that internal fucking zero stop. Now, there are other models I think you can. Night Force, I know you can, because you have to adjust the zero stop on your own inside the Night Force. But again, it's going to be scope dependent, right? And these are three methods where you consider speed and precision. So where are you going to label these? We have holdovers. You need the range, and you need the dope. You have max point blank, which is point and shoot, and you're effective out to a certain distance. Okay. So let's say for max point blank, we're dialed 1.5 and we're effective out to 325. Not very precise, but it's very fast.
Very fast.
And it is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Speed drop, you need range, and that's it. It's fast and it's precise. Rank them. Like, not rank them in terms, I think we already know which one's fastest, right? But on a speed scale, what are you giving holdovers? Let's go 1 to 5. 5 being fastest engagement time, 1 being slowest, right? And that's including dialing. If you were going to just dial on your scope, what would be the speed rating for that?
So, I mean, I guess holdovers, because you still have to shoot it. You still need to know a distance. I mean, if it's only a scale of 1 to 5,
Yeah.
five being the slowest and five essentially just being dial, shoot and dial, then holdovers is probably going to be a 4.
Okay. You definitely went the wrong way with the ratings, but we'll stick with what you said.
Okay. We'll say one's the best, five's the worst. So we're going to say it's going to be a 4.
All right, so holdovers is a 4. Would you put dialing as a 5?
Yeah, because it's obviously going to be the slowest.
Okay, all right.
Well, the
What, you got something else that's
I mean,
we're talking about the average guy here, not a high speed killer, right? With the average guy, who is this going to benefit the most?
okay,
So
then we'll leave it at that, because I'm going to say that dialing is just as fucking fast in some cases.
No. No.
Yeah, okay. So we're gonna call it a 4.
Okay, 4. All right, now max point blank speed rate.
Oh yeah, it's a fucking 1.
It's a
I mean, I
1.
don't think it gets any faster.
Point and shoot. All right.
Yeah.
Speed drop.
Speed drop, you still have to get it, you still have to shoot it. So it's speed wise, I'm gonna call it a 3.
Okay.
It's just slightly faster than a holdover.
Just because you don't have to memorize a dope. You don't have to
Yeah, you
look at
just don't
a
have to
note
think.
card. You just use your
100%.
reach.
It literally is, it's this much faster.
Okay. So now let's go with the precision rating. We'll keep the same scale, 1 to 5, 1 being the best, 5 being the worst. All right. Dialing.
One. One's the
right. Holdovers.
best. One. Two.
You think holdovers is less accurate than dialing?
So I do. And the only reason I say that is because you have a level of tweeners at, if I'm talking 100, 150, 2, if I'm talking like even numbers solid on mils, whatever it is, like that's pretty easy. But I think when you start, you can get caught, I feel like you can get caught in between on holdovers dependent upon your reticle.
Okay. Because you may not have 0.2 increments. You might have a mil dot with just 1 mil.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess it's reticle dependent, right?
I agree. I agree.
On like a on a fucking H59 or something or whatever, like, yeah, they're gonna be the same.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. All right. Max point blank precision.
A precision, that's gonna be a fucking 5.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'll give it a 4 just because in that window it's you just got to be able to shoot a dinner plate, like. Okay.
I mean, with a 300-yard, I want to remember the math here, right? But the max ordinate, the highest point of the trajectory on like a 300-yard dialing 1.50 gives you that farthest max distance engagement for your vital zone of 12 inches. I want to say you are 4 or 5 inches above the line of sight at around 180 yards.
Okay, so I'll preface my number by saying this. The accuracy of a max point blank range depends on two things. What you decide your vitals are, because if I decide that the vitals is 3 inches, then it's not too bad, right? My range is drastically shortened. And it depends on what rifle I'm shooting. So if I'm shooting a really flat rifle, like let's say I'm shooting a 22 250 and I'm fucking shooting them at like 4,300 feet per second or something, because I'm chasing chipmunks or whatever. And I have my number set. So it's like, I'm just like my maximum point blank range, my vitals, I'm calling them 3 inches. I'm still getting a pretty wide range on a really flat shooting bullet. So
Yeah.
it's pretty fucking accurate. But if I'm shooting a 16-inch 308, I mean, it's not that wide and it's not that short.
So I did a private instruction for Fox Pro. You familiar with those guys?
Box Pro?
Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about them. I just know they got a YouTube channel. They do a lot of hunting. And they had a 22-250 that was moving about 4,000 feet per second.
Yeah, Fox Pro was started by, I think, Mike Dillon. Good dude. I was pro staff for a competing company for years, but I worked a lot with them throughout. All my buddies work with them. So, I mean, they've been around. They sort of reinvented the electronic collar.
Okay. So had these guys out at the range, got these smoking 22-250s, just laser beams, right?
Yep.
And we go through this whole max point blank theory with them. And we're like, look, we can fine tune your zero point, right? Because that's essentially anytime you dial the scope, you're zeroing the rifle, right?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't say zero on the scope anymore, you're now zeroed for whatever distance you just dialed, right?
Yep.
So talking to them, like, hey, what do you normally zero at right now? And we go through the numbers. We talk about where they're zeroed, where they should be zeroed. What's the most effective, right? And what's the vital size on a coyote? And we go through all this math, use the ballistic calculator, come to find out, hey, if you guys dial your scope for this distance, it's going to push you out to 450 max point blank.
Yeah.
Inside that little 5-inch kill zone for a coyote. Right? I mean, this is such a flat shooting round. It's accurate, but it's not precise.
Correct.
So what was your rating? You give it a 5?
I'm going to give it, no. Oh, grandpa's old 30-06 is a 5. I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. A 4.
Because you can still sort of tune. I'm almost willing to give it a 3 because at least there's a reasoning behind what you're doing and you're making it accurate enough for you. So
okay.
Final score 3.5.
Okay. Speed drop. We know what the speed rating is. You gave it a 3. What's the precision?
I want to give it a 3. I want to give my maximum point blank range a 4, and I want to give it a 3.
You're a speed drop hater, bro.
No, I just look. I get I back to that.
I need to take you out to the range and set you up on this speed drop technique. And once you do it, I think you'll have a little bit more love for it.
I probably will. Here's where I just get stuck, and it's my own holdup. In my ear, I hear, well, yeah, I got a good enough zero. Like that's what I hear when I'm thinking speed drop. Yeah, it's a good enough zero. Like, no, it's never good enough. It's either perfect or it's off. And so that's kind of what I'm hearing in the speed drop thing is like, oh, that's within an inch. It's within an inch.
That's only certain distances.
I know. But that's what I'm hearing.
Oh my God.
So I guess when you get back, your goal is to, we're going to run a half day of me only using speed drop.
Yeah.
And we're both going to try to change my mind.
I don't want to change your mind so much that you're like, oh my God, this is all I want to use.
No, but I can't talk shit if I don't know enough about it. If I haven't used it, if I haven't practically used it, I can't.
That is not true. I think 90% of us are guilty about talking shit about things until we get them, right? Like, little off the beaten path here, but you know the MDT Sky pods, the bipods, right? So those were developed by Sky Layton.
Yeah.
And awesome dude, shoots for Burris, and he competes in a lot of competition dynamics matches.
And I used to talk a lot of shit about MDT Sky bipods.
So when he first developed these things, dude, he brought them out to the Steel Safari match, and him and Dorgan were using them on the team challenge. And we're friends, and he's like, what do you think about these? And I'm like, touching them, and I'm like, they're loose, they're wobbly, I don't fucking like them, you know. I had not tried them, right? I just, first glance, I was like, what the fuck is this thing, you know? Like, And
it's not an Atlas.
He made some improvements to it and then boom, put them out on the market and they just took the fuck off. And then it was like, okay, what did I miss? Let me get a pair and see what's going on. And now that's like the gold standard of bipods, bro.
It's all I run. I got my fucking Atlas bipods on my air rifle.
Dude, I think we're all guilty of giving like, I don't fucking like it. Right, yeah, up okay, until.
Okay, but I'm never going to give kudos to a Magpul bipod. They can fuck off. Those are pieces of shit.
Have you tried them?
No, and I don't care.
I mean, I haven't tried the Magpul bipods, but I've seen students show up to like Precision Rifle 1 with Magpul, and I'm like,
I've held them. It's not happening.
I'm like, do you want to use those or do you just want me to switch it out now and save you the trouble? And they're like, what? And I'm like, I've seen it happen before, man. They're not doing anybody justice.
Yeah.
Like,
anyway. So anyhow, so the point is yeah, I will practice it a little bit coming up.
That's fair. All right. I'll take that.
But not with my Leupold because I can't.
True. With the Leupold, you cannot. But those three methods, outside of that, like, is there a method that I've left out that you would say falls into the speed and precision pulling at each other?
No, I think there's a lot of stuff out there that, like, I think there's some product out there that's trying to dive into that market. If you look at not the Alphateric, but if you look at the same company makes that little red dot flipper upper that changes your zero from like your red dot from like 0 to 300 or something like that. There's some stuff out on the market that is diving into basically maximum blank range without any, I guess, without any math or figuring it out. It's just works on a prism kind of stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. But I think you kind of covered everything. I do want to say that we kind of got into this discussion because we have the carbine class coming up. So it's always that speed versus, you know, anybody taking a carbine class is usually like, well, it's not as accurate, but it's faster. And I'm kind of living in both worlds. This holds true for bolt guns too. Like, this isn't just a gas gun thing.
Yeah. I think in every one of those arenas, gas gun, bolt gun, right? Everybody's trying to get faster while maintaining the precision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that with more training, getting better at dialing, holding, right? These are just techniques that would help you get faster with engagements without actually improving yourself as a shooter.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's almost like technology, right?
Yeah.
There are methods that have been developed that say you're still a shitty shooter, but we've done this so you can engage faster and maintain some of that precision.
Yeah.
All right. But it is a give and a take, you know, with these engagement styles, it does affect one or the other. Want to go faster, you're typically going to lose precision. And that's true for skill-wise as well. Guys who want to get up there and start shooting fast as fuck, and they start to lose their precision because their fundamentals go out the window. Like, you know, it happens in everything. So,
yeah. But again, like I've always trained, like, you know, maybe it's not relevant to this, but like with pistol shooting, I've always trained that, you know, I train my students beyond the basics to shoot as fast as possible, because you can always train accuracy while shooting fast, but you can't train speed while you're just shooting slow and accurate. So, you know, if you're trying to work on speed, there's things you can do to increase your accuracy. And sometimes you just have to give up one for the other.
Hmm. We'll have to talk about that. That's an interesting subject to dive into next. I don't know if I am on board with it yet.
Yeah. Well,
you have to convince me.
Yeah, I think I can.
I can't get it out of my head now. I'm like, can't go slow to go fast.
So if you think about this, so if I'm If I'm, and again, this is specifically like carbine and pistol shooting, right?
Yeah.
If I'm, every time I go to the range, I'm shooting slow and methodically, and I'm shooting that little tiny, all, everything's touching at 7 yards. I'm never going to be able to increase my speed if I maintain that level of accuracy, right? It's sort of, when I was doing my quals for my guys, if they were shooting little tiny groups, I'd tell them to fucking speed up, 'cause I don't want to see that. But if I train a guy and he's pushing himself to shoot just outside those rings every single time, his technique will, again, we still have to continue to train technique, but he can push for better accuracy while still maintaining speed, but it doesn't work the other direction.
Can you train technique while going light?
So you can, yeah. So you can ramp up as long as you're ramping up, but you can't stay at one speed. Like you can't drive 5 mile an hour and ever get to 100. But if you drive at 5 and then 6 and then 7 and 8 and whatever, you can sort of ramp up. What I'm talking about is starting at 100, figuring out where your technique is failing, continue it at 100, but work on that technique to slowly decrease your group size. And it's, and for me, it's been proven in what we do, and we can run through some drills that show that specifically.
I don't know how we test this. I'm trying to think of how we test this.
So there are some specific drills that help that. And again, I could be full of shit. Who knows?
Well, I mean, everybody's got their way of instruction, right? Like you have a method, you have seen this work, and we may not be seeing, we may not even employ the same things, right? I've always been on the mindset of like, do it right. Do it at the speed that you can do it perfect. And the more you get used to perfect, the faster you're going to become. But,
and I don't disagree with that.
This is in relation to a bolt gun. I'm not even considering a pistol, right? I'm thinking about like precision rifle, like, stop trying to get up to the barricade and get your shot off. Build your position. Understand what right feels like. Take the shot. And the more you become accustomed to what perfect is, the faster you'll become, right? Yep. But to hear your ideology about this, I'm like, man, this is blowing my mind. Like how?
But it's completely, and again, I agree 100% in the precision rifle world with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we get to pistol shooting and carbine shooting. Now, the caveat to that is, like we talked about with fitness, you still have to have a base skill. If you don't have the base skill, we're starting at zero, and everything is still slow technique.
Okay, but once you have that was my question right there. Is like
100%
brand new shooter. Are you just going to start at 100 miles?
You must have a base skill, and that guy's not going to shoot fast for years.
You're going to be slow as fuck, boy.
Yeah. And this is just, and I guess what I'm getting at, this is more advanced level stuff, yeah, to push yourself to that next level.
Mm.
But yeah, I always, yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode.
All right, dude. All right. Well, I thought this was a good episode. I hope we kept it inside that manageable time limit. I don't know how long we were bullshitting before I hit record.
Who knows?
But we're at, timer wise, we're at 1 hour, 4 minutes.
Well, it's not
what
too
do
bad.
You think the length of this episode is going to be?
45 minutes.
All right. That's fair. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. I know you got daddy duties. All kinds.
Always
of
got daddy duties.
On. Always got daddy duties, man. Always. But look at you in your backdrop there, dude. You got the 2019 Masters. I don't know who that.
I know. It's getting better. So I'm still working on some things, but eventually I'll have a desk here and I'll have my signage and I'll be able to zoom out a little bit, but it's still turning around. The place is still a disaster.
So I see the little video box in the background, the same one that you got me, right?
Yep.
Is the price of Bitcoin right now, is that displayed on the thing there?
It will be on the next go, not this one, but that one. What is it? 69,109 giggity.
How many months ago was it that we were at like 19,000?
When it was 17 and I said you should buy some Bitcoin. I'm going to wait till it drops a little bit.
Dude, and then it just started climbing. And then I remember when it went to 25, and I was like, it'll come back down. It'll
They
come
said
back
you
down.
should buy some.
It'll come back down. And dude, and
Okay, these are cycles. It's gonna go up, it's gonna come down, it's gonna go up. Bitcoin forever.
All right, brother. Well, it was a good conversation. Appreciate you taking the time. Everybody listening, thank you guys. Appreciate the support for this episode and probably some episodes going forward. This will be posted only on Patreon for approximately 1 week before it hits the mainstream. So we'll have to get that out there, Jeff. Tell everybody about our Patreon account and episodes where we discuss things like this. We want to start keeping it a little more inclusive to our subscribe members, right? So it is what it is. And outside of that, dude, we will link up later, knock out our next episode. Until then, I'm out of here, dude.
Peace. Thank you.